Our sermon series is called The Answer for Life. And the answer to life is something that is something that we find through God's word. It's not something that we find in this world. The answer to life is actually found in Jesus Christ himself. And a lot of people in this world, they try to find happiness, they try to find satisfaction in what's going on in their own lives. They want to have a good life, they want to have an exciting life. But Christianity is different. We don't find our satisfaction and the idea of a good life or an exciting life through the things that are in this world. We find meaning and truth through our Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus himself. Last week, we talked about this big word called justification, in which we seek to find a way to get away from these feelings of guilt or blame or shame or fear, and we try to find some peace. That's what we talked about last week. But this doesn't just happen by us trying harder in some kind of way, trying harder to be a better Christian or trying harder to do things right. This idea of peace comes only through Jesus Christ. And so as we continue on in the sermon series, as we're looking for the answer for life, we're going to be looking at our passage today from Galatians. And actually, I want to invite up our sister Whitney to come and read our passage today. So she'll introduce the passage, and then she'll do the reading for us.
The reading of God's word comes from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. And if you have the blue Bible from outside, this will be on page 973. Again, the reading of God's word is from Galatians 3, chapter 3, 1 to 14. This is the word of the Lord. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. This was the reading of God's word.
Thank you. The title for today's sermon is To Do What's Right. And I want us to think about what will motivate a person to do what's right. I know what motivates children sometimes. Sometimes it's candy, a promise to buy them some type of gift. But what would motivate you or your spouse or other people around you? What would motivate them to do what's right? And what would it cost to do what's right? I looked up this phrasing, to do what's right, and what came up was this. And it says, sometimes to do what's right, we have to give up the things we want the most, even our dreams. Spider-Man said that. And so it says, in order to do what's right, you can't necessarily get what you want. Like for children, we would give them candy and we would give them, and so they'll do what's right to do to in order to get what they want. But here it says, sometimes, in order to do what's right, we have to give up those things that we want, even our dreams. And when we think about that, the struggle that we find, especially as we're talking about like trying to do what's right as a Christian, the struggle that we find is that we might reply just like any child would. Not to say that we're children, but the way that a child would answer is that they would say, if you tell a child, you know what, to do what's right, sometimes you need to give up candy. And they're going to say what? They're going to say, but I don't want to give up candy. Right? The way that we might respond is that, but the reason why it's so hard to do what's right is because it's so hard to give up those things that we want and those things that we want the most. Actually, as we think about Christianity and our Christian lives, we a lot of times misunderstand what Christianity is all about. We misunderstand that maybe in order to get what we want, which is blessings, that we need to do what's right. We need to live a right life. We need to live a holy life. It's kind of like, and I just looked this up, I don't know who this guy is, but he's a businessman, he's an author, his name is Arnold Glasso. Maybe some of you guys might know this person. But he said, he's a businessman, he said, success is simple. Success is something that we want. Success is simple. Do what's right. The right way at the right time. And so in order for us to get what we want, success, we need to do what's right. In order for us to get what we want, whatever it might be, we need to do what's right. Now, how do we do what's right? What does the Bible teach us about how to do what's right? Because again, the main goal for a lot of us is to get what we want, even though this is what Spider-Man says, right? So if we want to get what we want, how do we do what's right to be able to get what we want? Well, the main idea for today's sermon is this. To do what's right, and perhaps get what you want, but I'm going to change it a little bit as we keep talking about this in the sermon. But to do what's right, believe in Jesus, who already blesses us by freely giving us the Spirit. Okay, I'm going to explain this a little bit more as we go along in the sermon. But that's the main idea. And the 3 points that we'll go through are, number one, blessed. Number two, the method to receive blessing. And number three, sanctification by faith alone. All right? So again, to do what's right, believe in Jesus, who already blesses us by freely giving us the Spirit. And the 3 points are, number one, blessed. I thought about putting a hashtag in front, like what you might see in some social media stuff, but I decided not to. Number two, the method to receiving receive blessing. And number three, sanctification by faith alone. So, let's talk about this idea of being blessed. When we understand blessing, and when you look at those social media videos and things like that, what do they show? Oh, look at my wonderful child. They decided to pull some flowers off of our out of our garden, and they brought it to me, and they gave me this wonderful gift, and they recorded that and told their kid, do that again, so that I could record it, and then I'm going to put blessed as a little hashtag on my video, right? We think about blessing as something that happens to us. We think about blessing as something that we have or something that we were able to achieve. I was finally able to pass that test so that I could start my new career, blessed. I was able to eat the food that I've been wanting to eat, blessed, right? And we talk about blessing in this kind of way, but perhaps we need a redefinition of what it is to be blessed. Because you watch those videos, and for you, you start to feel jealous that they're blessed, and you see their smiling faces on social media, and you begin to ask yourself, why am I not blessed? And in fact, you get to eat what you want to eat, and you get to work the work that you've been dreaming about, but then you've been working for 20 years now, and you're like, I'm still working at this job. And you don't necessarily feel as blessed. In the situation that you're in right now, maybe you don't feel as blessed. And so perhaps we need a redefinition of what blessing is all about. Now, when we look at our passage, what we find is that Paul starts off by saying, foolish Galatians. And he sounds a little bit angry. It sounds like he's not really happy with the people. But I want to understand this passage to be like, come on, guys. Like, I taught you guys what the gospel was about. And he goes on in the passage, he says, you know, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. It's not that the Galatians actually saw Jesus being crucified, but Paul talks about how he was able to go and share with the people very vividly about how Jesus was crucified for their sins. He told them, this is what true Christianity is about. And I tried to explain to you, and I did it as best as I could, and I made it very clear for you guys what Jesus Christ did for us. Why are you turning away from this original message that I gave to you? Come on, guys. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And then he continues on in the passage to talk about, you know, did you receive all these blessings by faith? Or did you receive all these blessings by doing some type of work? By depending on what you could do yourself, by the flesh. And so even though he goes through all these questions, these rhetorical questions, he's actually pointing out all the blessings that we've received as Christians. So let's take a look. I'm not going to show the verses on the screen. And so if you do have your Bibles, it'd be great if you can open it up to the passage and just follow along with me. This is what I have on the screen. What does it mean to be blessed? You could look at the passage and see what it says, but I'm just going to summarize what Paul is getting at and saying, how are we actually blessed? And again, the question is, are we blessed in this way by our works or by faith? And so how are we blessed? He points out that we're blessed to receive the Spirit. And why is that a blessing? Well, it's a blessing because God is giving himself to us. God sends the Spirit to us. He's giving himself to us, and it's through the connection with the Holy Spirit that we are actually able to understand that we are sinners. It's through the Spirit that we're actually able to understand what the gospel is about. It's through the Spirit that we actually have faith to believe in Jesus Christ. It's through the Spirit that actually changes us and makes us more and more like Jesus Christ, and where we become more and more holy, where we change for the better. It's all the working of the Spirit. And so the fact that we have the Spirit with us is a great blessing. It's the reason, the Holy Spirit is the reason that we're even able to believe and that we're able to have this relationship with God, because Jesus Christ, when he died and rose again, he sent the Spirit to us. Verse 3 talks about how we're blessed because we are perfected. Again, it's through Jesus' work that's, and he sent the Spirit to us, and the Spirit is working in our lives so that we're continually changing, and then ultimately one day when we go to heaven, we will be fully perfected. Verse 3 goes on, or verse 4 talks about how we are blessed that things are not in vain. It talks about how we suffered, and some translations might use the word experienced, because it's a very interesting word, and there might be different ways to translate this word. But then what it's talking about is how whatever we experienced, whatever we've gone through, and even the most difficult things that we've gone through, that we know that it's not in vain. It's not for no reason. There is a purpose in it. Verse 5 talks about how we're blessed to see miracles. And, you know, a lot of us here, many Christians, we can look back on our lives, and it's not like miracles happen every single day of our lives. That's not what we're talking about. But we can look back on our lives, and we can look and see, yeah, I really believe that God was working there. Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy that this happened in this sequence. And I did not expect it to happen this way, but it was like a miracle. And we can look back and see that there are miracles that happen in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about some like crazy, like you grew a limb back. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But when you think about it, you think, how can this happen? It must have been by God doing some type of work in my life. And that's beyond what's natural. It's supernatural. It is a miracle. And it was even more the case for the people of Galatia when during that time the apostles were going around, and especially Paul and his the people that went around with him, they performed miracles. There were things that happened that the people were able to see. But today we're also able to talk about how God has actually worked in our lives. Verse 7, we're blessed to be children of Abraham. We're not just people that are on the outside and looking at the promises of the Bible, saying, oh, those promises are for other people, but not for me. We are actually children of God. God cares for us. God is the one that's watching over us. God is the one protecting us because we are his children. We are descendants of Abraham, not in a physical way, but because we believe in Jesus Christ in a spiritual way, we are descendants of Abraham. And that means all the blessings that are given to Abraham, that are promised for Abraham, also belong to us. That we're able to have a relationship with God, and we know that God is watching over us. And in verse 8, we're blessed that God planned this all along. This is not something that just happens by accident. This is, the things that happen in our lives are not just things that are that God has no control over. God has planned these things all along, and so we don't have to worry that things are just out of control. We are blessed to know that God is in control of all things that are going on. Now let me, I'm going to throw in some words here to show you that actually these are things that every person wants. Every human being in history wants these things. And this is actually the true blessing, whereas everything else in this world that we think is a blessing is only temporary, and it's not actually fulfilling. Okay, what do I mean? I don't know if you're able to see this or not, but you could take a picture with your camera and zoom in maybe. We're blessed to receive the Spirit. We're blessed to actually have connection. Connection is something that we want. The Spirit gives us help and support. This is something that we want. We want connection. We want help. We want support. That's what we seek. And sometimes we go to other people or other things to say, yeah, I want connection with people. I want help from people. I want support from people. We're blessed to be perfected, to actually have this idea that we are changing for the better. And beneath that is, I want hope. That there's something better for my life, that my life is going to get better in some kind of way. I want to see goodness. I want to see success. Or we're blessed that things aren't in vain. I believe that there's purpose in my life, or I want to believe that there's purpose in my life. I want to believe that all the bad things that I experience in my life is not for nothing. I want to believe that there's purpose, and that all of this is going to amount to something great. We're blessed to see miracles. What people, all people want is, I want to have a break sometimes. Life is just so hard. Why can't I just get a break? And we might define that as grace in some ways. I just want a break. We're blessed to be children of Abraham. I want to have this sense of belonging. I want to feel like I actually am a part of a good family, whereas what I'm really experiencing is rejection from my family. And so I want to be a part of some group that actually accepts me for who I am. Again, what I'm saying is that these are all things that people around the world for all time have been looking for, and they try to look for their answers in people. They try to look for their answers in their jobs. They try to look for all these answers in their families. But all of these things that the world offers are just temporary things. And what we need to see is that all humankind are searching for all these things, and Jesus Christ is the answer. The last one is that we're blessed that God planned this all along. And what people want to find in this world is that things are under control. Sometimes when it feels like the world is just out of control, what we do is we try to do things. We get angry sometimes to try to make things under control. Like my children, when I feel like the world is out of control because my children are going crazy, I grow angry because I think that somehow with my anger, it's going to bring things under control. But that's only temporary. Maybe it does for a little bit. But then they become teenagers and they don't care that you're yelling anymore. You see, all the answers are actually found in Jesus Christ, and what Christianity offers is a true way to answer all these questions, all these things that we're looking for. What is the answer to life? Christianity offers the true answer. Now, what we've said is that in order to get what we want, the world teaches us, even the Bible teaches us, we need to do what's right. We need to do what's right. We need to follow God's commands. But no matter how much the world says this, and no matter what the world offers, it just doesn't seem enough. It doesn't seem like we're doing it right. And so we try to do what's right in the right way. We're watching all these videos like how to do exercises, how to diet, how to be successful, how to invest. We look at all these things and we're trying to do things right so that somehow that maybe we would be blessed. So let's talk about that then. What is the method to receive blessing? How do we do what's right? How can we get this blessing? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. What the Bible is saying so far is to say, you're going to get these blessings either by leaning on your works, by depending on what you do and trying to figure it out and making sure you do it right, or you're going to depend on faith. And Paul's arguing that, look, is it by the works that you've done through your flesh, or is it by faith? That's Paul's argument as he's talking about all these blessings. Well, in verse 10 and 11, it says this, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." You see, in these two verses, it shows that there are two ways that people are trying to get their blessings. There are two ways that they're trying to figure out how to live their lives, and it's either by depending on what you do or depending on faith, depending on your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you choose to try to figure out your life and get all those blessings, be blessed by what you do, then what the Bible says is that cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. You see, the thing is that in order for us to really feel that blessing that the Bible is talking about, that we're all chasing after, you got to do things perfectly. You got to do it. You got to do everything right. Right? So what if you lost 10 kilograms? If you're not working on your eating habit, it's going to come right back. Right? You got to do everything in life perfectly. And the Bible, that's what the Bible is saying. In another part of Scripture, in James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. It just takes one mistake, one wrongdoing to show that everything that you've done is going to lead you to a cursed life. So either you do it perfectly or you're cursed. So, either you will live by faith or you'll live your life depending on your works, depending on trying to be a good person, depending on trying to make things work out in your life, depending on trying to make sure that you get that job or trying to make sure that you're going to make this relationship work. You're going to depend on yourself or you're going to depend on the Lord. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the result of this, if you do it by faith, there's going to be a certain result. If you do it by your works, there's going to be a certain result. And because we can't do everything perfectly, when you depend on works, the result is going to be curses. But when you do it by faith, there's going to be blessings. Okay, this is the result. Now, I want to go back to that verse that we were just looking at. And it says that cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things. But what do we mean by cursed? Because when we see this word and it says cursed is everyone, some people might think, wow, God is just such a cruel God. It's just one mistake. Why would God punish someone so badly and just mess up their whole lives just because of that one mistake? Someone might be asking this question. Well, let's talk about what that curse actually looks like and what's declared in the Old Testament. Because here in Galatians, when it's talking about cursed is everyone that doesn't abide by the law, it's actually pointing to this idea in Deuteronomy. So what does it say? It says, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, so again, if you don't follow God's law perfectly, if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And they're not going to say you're going to be possessed by demons and some like you're going to be struck by lightning. And it doesn't say all these like supernatural stuff. This is what it says. It says, cursed shall you be in the city and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And it goes on, and there's more to it. You see, what it's saying is that everything in your life will be cursed in some way when you don't do things perfectly according to God's ways. No matter how much you try to seek a blessed life, a happy life, there's always going to be something where you're going to feel unsatisfied or it's just not long-lasting enough. I'm showing these blessings once again because I want you to see that the curse is not something that God is saying, I'm going to make your life terrible. What God is actually trying to point out here is, look, when you're not looking for these things, connection, help, support, hope, goodness, success, purpose, a break, belonging, that all things are under control. When you're not looking for these things in God, then you're going to look for these things in this world. And when you look for these things in the world, you're going to find that it's not going to be enough. And when you find that it's not enough, you're going to do something to fight for it, to make sure that it's enough for you. And that's where fighting happens. That's where you try to put too much into making your field grow. That's when you start fighting with your neighbors to make sure that you have enough and they're not taking away your water. That's where you fight to make sure that you're in control. That's where you begin to fight to make sure that they are your friends and you tell them what they did wrong so that they apologize and you make sure that they are the friends that you want and not friends that you don't want. Otherwise, you're going to leave them and you're going to go find someone else. Or you make sure that your business is going well to make sure that you succeed and you have enough money and you start contemplating, how do I make sure that I have enough money? And you start thinking about how to do your taxes and how to do your business in the wrong way because you just want to make sure that you're successful. You see, when you don't look to God to be fulfilling you, then you're going to look to this world. And what the world offers is limited. And when you find that it's limited, you're going to start fighting. And imagine a world where people are all experiencing that they don't have enough of all of these things, and everyone is fighting for themselves. Curses are not because God is just saying, I'm going to curse you and make your life terrible. God is describing for us what will happen to this world automatically when people don't depend on the Lord. And what we experience in this world is the result not of God's doing, but it's our own doing. We are cursed because of our own sin of not depending on God, but depending on other things. When I talk about sin, I just want you to know, I'm not saying you're such a bad person. All of us can stand before God and say we have not done things the right way. When I talk about sin, I want to be a little bit more clear and say, sin, yes, it is evil, but why is it evil? It's because we're not depending on God for all these things, and we've turned away, and we're depending on other things. Even the good things that you might do, like trying your best to be a good parent, trying your best to be a good worker, trying your best just to be a good person. When you're not depending on God and you're depending on yourself to do those good things, actually is sin. Because you're not depending on God and you're depending on yourself. And the result of sin is death. We all deserve to be cursed. We all deserve to die. But what is this good news that we're talking about? What is this good news that Christianity is about? What it is this. Jesus Christ came. And though we deserve the curses, Jesus lived a perfect life on earth. He actually lived it perfectly. He did everything according to the book of the law. He did it perfectly, and so what he deserves is blessings. But what Jesus says is that if you put your trust in me, if you trust me, you know, we don't have to use the word believe because sometimes that gives us the wrong understanding. It's not just believe in Jesus, just believe that he exists. No. What Jesus is saying, he's saying to you, do you trust me to take care of the curses that you are receiving? Do you trust me to take care of it? Because if you trust me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my record, my perfect record. I'm going to give my righteousness to you, and I'm going to take your sinful record upon me, and I'm going to receive the curses for you. And you're going to receive my blessings. Do you trust me to do this for you? That's the good news. That when we trust Jesus, that he has taken our imperfect life and has taken the curses upon him, and we have received his blessings. He has given us his Holy Spirit, and we are connected to God, and we have a sense of belonging, and we have hope for change for good, that we will be perfected. There is purpose to our life, and our lives are not in vain because Jesus' perfect record is on us, and we will receive his blessings. Another way of saying it is this: though we have sin, Jesus takes our sin. And Jesus has that obedient, perfect life, and we receive his perfect life. And so, in our verse today, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. You see, we have to understand that the method to receive blessing is not by just depending on ourselves, because depending on ourselves will ultimately lead to curses. And that's going to be the result every time. Those people that write blessed and make those videos, you think that that's their whole life? They're just looking at one little thing and trying to be an influencer online. Go and ask them what their lives are really like, and you'll find what their lives are really like. The way to experience true blessing is by turning to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I can't do it. I admit that I can't do it. No matter how hard I try, I can't make my life better. But I trust you, Jesus, that you have done everything perfectly for me and you've taken care of my curse. I trust you, Jesus, that I am blessed. You've given me your Spirit, and my blessedness doesn't come from this world. My blessedness comes from the fact that I have a relationship with you. I trust you, Jesus. I'm going to no longer trust anything that the world tells me about what it is to be blessed, to go find a good job and to make that $1 million and to have children and to get married and to have children or not have children. I'm not going to believe what the world tells me anymore. I'm going to believe what you say, Jesus. I'm going to believe that you have told me that it is a blessing to be in this relationship with you. And when you do that, you'll really experience true peace, true joy, true love, true happiness. So some of us might be here now to say, all right, still, what am I supposed to do? In Bible studies on Friday that I lead in our community group, and in Sunday sermons, sometimes I talk about, this is what the gospel is. Just believe in Jesus. And then people come up to me afterwards and say, so what am I supposed to do? I said, believe in Jesus. Trust Jesus. Okay, so what am I supposed to do? I mean, some people come up to me and say, I know I'm supposed to believe in Jesus, but then, like, aren't we supposed to do something? Like, aren't we supposed to live a good life? Like, aren't we supposed to do something? Tell me, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? To do what's right, believe in Jesus, who already blesses us by freely giving us the Spirit. What are we supposed to do? Well, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I actually changed the last point here. Anyone remember what that last point was? I got you guys. we're gonna talk about what that last point was. See if you catch it, all right? What do we do? How do we do what's right? And you're hearing me saying believe, 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 trust. All right, how does this work? All right. Some people believe that the gospel that we say, the good news that we are supposed to believe in, is the door to become a Christian. And the gospel is something that I just need to believe in to become a Christian. And the gospel is something that I need to share with other people. Evangelism. I need to share the gospel with other people. And that's what the gospel is for. But now as a Christian, I'm supposed to do my best to live a good life as a Christian because I'm a Christian now. And so some people think about the gospel in that way. But I want to propose that the gospel is not just to become a Christian, it's not just the door, and it's not just the door that you give to other people so that they can become a Christian. The gospel is for every single one of us every day of our lives. It's not just something that we believe in to become a Christian, it's something that we need to believe in every single day of our lives. We need to keep going back to the gospel. At our church, we talk about living a gospel-centered life. This is the idea. To go back to the gospel every single day of our lives because we need the gospel every day of our lives. So, there's this big word that we use in Christianity. Some of you guys may know this word, some of you may not. The way you pronounce it is sanctification. And what does this mean? Sanct means holy. And the idea of sanctification is that we are growing in Jesus Christ and becoming more and more holy, becoming more and more different from this world, more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what sanctification is about. And so what people might say is that I need the gospel to become a Christian. That's justification by faith alone. That's what we talked about last week. Justification by faith alone. But then sanctification is dependent upon me. I need to do my best to become a good Christian and so that God will be happy with me and he'll bless me. But is that what sanctification is? Is sanctification, us becoming more and more like Jesus and being perfected, is that dependent upon me? Or is sanctification also by faith alone? By the way, if you haven't caught it yet, sanctification by faith alone was the third point. What is sanctification? I already gave a definition for it, but there's a document that I highly encourage you to go look up. It's called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. If you have any questions about Christianity, it's a great way. It's a tool that was made many years ago to help us learn what the basics of Christianity is about. So it is in this question-answer format. And there's this question, what is sanctification? And the answer that's given here in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is this. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Okay, so you have that idea where we're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. We're becoming more and more better. We're living unto righteousness and we're dying to sin. But if you look at the wording carefully, it's really interesting. The way that it's worded is sanctification is the work of God, of his free grace. It's not our work. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, and we are renewed. It's not we need to renew ourselves. It's something that's happening to us. We are renewed. And it goes on to say we are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. It's not something that we do. It's not we do our best to become a better Christian. We're going to fight against our sin, and we're going to somehow become better people because now I'm a Christian. That's not how it works. God is the one working in us, and we are enabled to do this. And that's why Paul is arguing from our passage today, he's arguing saying, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And then it goes on and says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, You became a Christian with the Spirit and having faith. Are you now being perfected? Are you now being sanctified by the flesh? Are you so foolish that you said all you need to do to become a Christian is believe, but then now that you're a Christian, you're telling everyone, I'm a Christian, I'm going to fight against my sin, I'm going to do my best to be a good Christian. Are you so foolish to depend on yourself for your Christian life? Don't you know that it's all about faith in Jesus Christ? I struggled with pornography for a long, long time. Some of you guys might feel a little bit uneasy now, because pornography is not something that's talked about a lot at church. I struggled with pornography for a long time, ever since I was about 13 years old. And I watched pornography all throughout high school, all throughout college. I was serving in the church. I was serving in our campus ministry. I started working for a number of years, and then I went to seminary. I was still struggling with pornography. I became a pastor. I was struggling with pornography. I became a missionary. I was still struggling with pornography. And I was doing my best. I listened to all these different radio broadcasts. I looked at books. How do I beat pornography? I know that it's wrong. I know that it's against God, and I want to be sanctified. I want to become better. I don't want to struggle with pornography again. And I was trying and trying and trying in so many different ways. I was telling my friends. I was confessing my sins. As a pastor, I was telling my congregation that I struggled with pornography when I was in America. I shared with people. I put on different apps and programs into my computer to try to stop myself from watching pornography. I tried. I really tried, and I could not defeat it. It wasn't until one day that as I was praying and thinking about what it is to live a gospel-centered life, and I started thinking, why do I, and by the way, this is a long journey. This wasn't something that just happened one day. But I was asking this question, why do I look to pornography? What is it that I'm really seeking? Because pornography was just a symptom of something that was going on deep in my heart. And I was asking, why do I look to pornography? And I was trying to think carefully. And I realized that there are two major things that my heart chases after all throughout my life and still. My heart chases after wanting to be accepted by people, and my heart chases after wanting to achieve something great. I want to have success. And even if it's not some great success like making $1 million, I just want to be successful at what I do. I want to say that I did a good job. That's what I struggle with deep in my heart. And I was trying through ministry, through my knowledge of science and computers and things like that, about my ability to take care of my health, through all these things that I was trying in my mind to say that, yes, I've achieved something. I was depending on myself and wanting acceptance from people by trying to be a good person. I was depending on myself. And it wasn't until I said, Lord Jesus, I realize this isn't working. And I want to look to you and forget all these ideas of what it means to be successful in my life. And I want to look to you and say, I want to redefine success through your eyes. I want to redefine acceptance through your eyes. And I want to believe that no matter what, no matter what the world says, no matter what my parents say, no matter what other people say, no matter even if what my wife says or what my children say, I am accepted by you, God. because Jesus Christ, you died for me, and you've forgiven me, and your perfect record is on me. And so, Father God, when you look at me, you fully accept me because I have Jesus in me. And no matter what I'm living for right now, if I think that it's successful or not, that actually doesn't matter because, Lord, I trust that you're working in me and you're working your work through me. So no matter what happens, you're making it successful according to your will. So even if I see it as a failure, even if other people see it as a failure, Jesus Christ was a failure. He lost all his followers when he died on the cross. But God made that failure into a success. And that's why I have this relationship with you, Jesus, because you love me and you made it possible for me to have a relationship with you. No matter what I do, even if the world thinks I'm a failure, I am a success because God is working it out through me. And so, I want to end in this way. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? It's a strange way to end a sermon. But I want us to think carefully about what you as a Christian are depending on as you live your Christian life. To do what's right, believe in Jesus, who already blesses us freely, who blesses us by freely giving us the Spirit. Let's pray together.